Good morning, church. Love the chatter of God's people. Welcome to worship this morning. It's chilly, huh? But our hearts are warm in here, yes? Glad that you're here worshiping with us. Glad that our live stream worshipers are worshiping at home. Let's invite the Holy Spirit. Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you love us enough to come to us and that you've promised you will come again. As we celebrate this Advent season, God, we're anticipating your second coming, Lord. And we're celebrating that you came the first time. Would you send your Holy Spirit into this place? Would you unite our hearts? Would you stir us, God? Surprise us. We love you and praise you. May that the name that is above every name, Jesus, be high and lifted up. Amen. If you'll rise, if you're able, let's worship.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. Today we light the third candle of Advent, the candle of joy. With this candle we remember and celebrate that the only lasting joy to be found in life is through Christ our Lord. Come, let us sing for the joy of the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Thank you. may be seated.
Good morning. Can you hear me? They gave me a portable one so I could walk back and forth and everything. They won't give it to me now. I wore them out. Well. We're here to do some honoring of some people who do an absolutely wonderful job for our church. All these young ladies, older ladies, old men, good young men, all of them out here working for all of us. We get to reap the benefits of their work. So we're here. I'm here. We're going to thank them. We're going to thank them and show them how much we love them. And we do that. You know how you do that? With little bonuses. That helps a whole lot. And we have collected some funds over the year, and that's what we will utilize to give to our wonderful staff that we have. We have a fantastic staff. You should be very proud of them. And I got to find my notes. I really don't have to, but it kind of keeps me in line. We are going to honor our staff this morning with funds that are given to the church, and we are fortunate enough to be able to share them with all of our staff. And people, I want you to know this is the best staff I've ever been around and seen. They work so hard to make sure that we are getting what we need and that the preacher's keeping himself in line, all that good stuff. So I'm going to introduce, because I got it right in front of me, those who we're going to honor today. My name is Ray Mason. I'm a troublemaker. I am. I'm very quiet, shy, all of those good things. I love this church. Irene and I both do. The first time that we came here, when we left, we said, yep, this is the one. Fantastic. Y'all are just super, super fantastic people. Pastor couldn't ask for any better. Anyway, okay, now let me move on forward. We have a love offering, and we get to split that up, and we get to give it to all of these good, hard-working people, and that's what we're going to do today, and give them something for Christmas. So, I got to think what I got to do. The money comes from the love offering. And we love our folks, our youngsters, our staff of people go out of their way to make sure that things are right here. And they support Pastor Jeff very well. I'm going to introduce them to you. You would like to come on up here, Ms. Mason? No. The Threads of the Heart group has made each... Oh, you want me to wait on that? Oh, okay. Jamie Adams. Are you, she not? Here she comes. Brent Aiken, youth pastor. Glenda Bearden, meal coordinator. She's a pretty good cook. Billy Krim. See, what do they say, Billy? Billy's one of those, I mean, he is a master of all. We love you, Billy. You do a fantastic job. Carlene Krim. She's so good because she has to put up with him. She is also another one I've called many a time, and she said, oh, no, I'll help you. Thank you so very much. Linda Higginbotham, assistant children's pastor. Bless her heart. Bless her heart with all those children's. I didn't tell you what Brent was. Brent's a youth pastor. Glenda's a meal coordinator. Billy's adult life, what? Adult life pastor? All right. Linda Higginbotham?
Yes.
All right. She got here to help me. Shauna Riley, assistant youth pastor. See, I've got my act together. They're standing right down there. Chance Loomis, building and grounds. Not here. Where's the wife? Okay. Teresa Sauve. She's assistant finance and children's person, whatever that is. Miguel Varalas, student life pastor, does an outstanding job. Naomi Wood, finance person. I didn't know what else to say, you finance person. Arliss Wright, technology. He's the one that pulls his hair out when things don't work right. He's had several problems. Sorry about that. Let's see, Naomi Wood. That would be done. Arliss Wright, I've done. Terry Wright. Administrative assistant. Bless your sweetheart. And Jeff Hatcher. Pastor. Yeah. My helper. The Threads of the Heart group has made each staff member a bookmark to thank them for their love, dedication, and service to our church. Each bookmark is unique, like the person receiving it. We'd like to ask Jeff to open his to show the congregation what they're like. This is a good one. Yeah. What is it? Are you done?
Sometimes follow you forever.
You people need to be like what I was saying, proud of this staff right here in front. Yay. They are the hardest working people. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That was, they meant it. Am I supposed to do something else? I'm thinking about things I got to do. I just want to take a moment to tell you, since Irene and I have been here, we love this place. The staff, the congregations, everyone has just been absolutely fantastic. Thank you for who you are, for what you do. We have a wonderful pastor, a great staff of folks who do their job, help us do anything in the world. And we thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, what was it? I need to pray, don't I? I'm working on it. Bow our heads. Holy Father, we are so thankful for this day and for your blessings. We thank you for this church home. We thank you for the staff. We thank you for the people who attend. Father, we just thank you for life. We just ask for your guidance, forgiveness, help. Bless those who are sick, who couldn't be here. Lead us, direct us. Forgive us when we fall. But thank you for being there to pick us up. Pray in your holy name. Amen. Amen. The children? Children, come forward.
So this morning, did anyone think it was too cold outside?
No.
No, good, good, good. All right, we are in the middle of Advent, right? And that means that each week before Christmas, we focus our thoughts and our learn more about Jesus and the birth of Jesus. And this week when we lit our candle, the focus is on the word joy and how Jesus influences our joy. And so I thought we would study a little bit about that. First of all, what is joy? What do you? In your heart. I like that. Like celebrating. These are great words. Is joy the same as being happy? No, because there's a difference, right? There's a bit of a difference. And I want to talk about the difference between the happy and joy today. And I'm going to use this little candle to help me explain the difference between being happy and being joyful. So when we're happy, we're happy over something that pleases us, right? We're happy to go outside. But then maybe we're sad when we're told to come inside. Maybe we're happy because it's dinner time and we like the meal, but then we're not happy when we don't like the vegetables, but we have to eat them anyway. Maybe we're happy because we did well on a test at school, but then there's another time when we didn't do well on a test at school and we're not happy. So happy kind of goes on and off. It's kind of like a light switch. We're happy, and as things happen to us that we like, we're happy. As things happen to us that we don't like, we're not happy. So it's an on and off kind of situation. Joy is different because joy stays on all the time. And why does joy stay on all the time? I'm going to read the verse from Luke 2:10 when the angel comes and talks and announces Jesus' birth. The angel says, "I bring you good news of great joy for all people." What's that great joy that who's going to be born?
Jesus
is going to be born. So the great joy is Jesus. And Jesus' light is always on, right? We hear about Jesus is called the light. And so his light is always on. And if he's in our heart and we're keeping him there and bad things happen to us, right? We have to eat those vegetables we don't like. We're not happy. It can feel like our light isn't shining, but is it shining?
Yeah.
It's still shining. So it has nothing to do with our feelings. It doesn't matter that we're unhappy about those vegetables. The light of Jesus is still shining. We can still be joyful and have that joy in our hearts and be pleasant and kind because we still have Jesus shining in the darkness. We are not happy with our friend or our friend's not happy with us and we're angry or disappointed or frustrated and our feelings are just all over the place. They are definitely not happy feelings. But is the light still shining? Jesus' light is in our heart, is still shining, so we can still have joy. We can change our words and still have pleasant words. We can change our actions and still have pleasant actions. And that is being joyful and having joy in all situations, no matter if we like the situation or not, whether it's difficult or not. With Jesus, we always can feel joy. Because Jesus, he is our joy. And he's always in our heart. And he always lights up the darkness. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus, the light of the world. Thank you that his birth brings us true joy. Help us remember your joy lives in our hearts, even on the hard days. Thank you that Jesus is our joy. Amen.
Good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. On behalf of Carly and I, just want to thank you guys so much for your love for us, your generosity. You know, we love this church, which means we love you guys. And y'all are just an easy bunch of people to love. You really are. I told the early service that it's good to be in a place where the sheep don't bite. Yeah, I think we've all maybe had a little bit of that experience in the past, but thank you so much for your love for us, and thank you, Ray, for that short, concise presentation. I want to encourage you to go ahead and check into this service through our app. Christmas workshop is this afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. I think the online registration was shut off at 11, so if you have a child or a grandchild you want to participate in that, go ahead and bring them. And you might show up about 15 minutes early so we can get them registered and get them plugged into a group. Our church office is closed from the 18th of this month through the 5th of January. And our Christmas Eve service is at 5:30 on Christmas Eve next Wednesday. So if you're able, let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Several new discipleship opportunities after the first of the year. Brad and Ann Paris are going to lead a new young adult Sunday school class, age ranges 25-ish to early 30-ish. The last young adult class we started was about 15 years ago. It was titled the Alpha Class, and I shared with the early service that class is now the Delta Class. They've graduated, a couple of them. Do what? That was a compliment, Susan. That was a compliment. Goodness gracious. Hostile crowd. So anyway, Brad and Ann are going to lead that. That'll start after the first of the year. Also, a new Wednesday night opportunity, along with our community groups. Larry Young's going to lead a prayer class for that. Larry was a pastor, still a pastor, by the way. How long were you?
35 years.
35 years. Okay. I've spent some time with Larry, and I trust Larry. And Larry has a heart for prayer, and I think anybody would benefit from coming to this class, regardless of how you feel like your prayer life is. If it's strong or if it's not quite so strong, encourage you to maybe consider coming to that class. That'll start on the 14th of January. So this morning, I want to pray into joy for us, not just any kind of joy, as Teresa talked about, the joy of the Lord. It's different than just joy. You know, joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and so there's something supernatural about the joy you and I can experience in Christ, and I'm going to pray for that to be a reality for us this Christmas season. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, God, for joy. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you live inside of us. My goodness, that's just phenomenal, that the God of the universe in the form of the Holy Spirit can live inside of a human being and we don't explode. I thank you for joy. And Father, as you know, I had to fight for it for so long. And 5 or 6 years ago, you just did something supernatural and joy just comes so easy. I don't want to take that for granted, though. So, Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that's struggling with joy, this supernatural joy, and, Father, if they're in you and you're in them, God, I pray that you provide that for them. Would you stir that inside of them? We have so much to be joyful about, so much to be thankful for, not just this time of the year, but, God, just every day that we draw breath, we have opportunities to be joyful. So meet with us this morning, Lord. Provide the things that we need individually. Provide the things that we need corporately as a body of believers. And I just thank you for the way that you love us. I thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, your kindness that leads us to repentance. You're so, so good. And we love you for who you are. And Jesus, thank you for being our teacher. And you taught us to pray the prayer you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Once again, church, thank you for your financial faithfulness. You can continue to give electronically as the Lord leads. Offering boxes are by the doors. If you need prayer this morning, there are lots of opportunities to be prayed for. Be people available for prayer after the service, during the altar times, during the worship times. Seek me out, seek our pastor out, and we would love to intercede to the Lord on your behalf. Let's continue to worship him together as we stand.
I want.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless words, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song is it's not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you.
Well, good morning again, church. Glad that you're here this morning with us. If you're our guest this morning, we hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. Hope you feel the Holy Spirit. There's a blue striped card and it says guest registration in the seat pocket in front of you. Would love for you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but I'd love for you to do that if you're our guest, because two things. Number one, you might find yourself with some cookie dough. I'm just saying, you know. And also, we like knowing who people are. We like being connected. So I will also be at the end of the foyer down here after the service. We'd love to greet you. I want to echo a little bit of what Billy said. Just what a wonderful staff you got. What a wonderful church you guys are. You know, I do echo the deal that it's nice to be in a place that where we don't fuss and fight. And honestly, in 23 years here, we've never had an ugly meeting. Jim, that's amazing. Larry, that's amazing, huh? You know, some of you guys have been in the pulpit, pastors know that is an amazing thing. Just y'all are a wonderful congregation. I tell people all the time, man, there's just this church is full of loving, godly, Christ-like people. We're not a perfect church, but we're a really good church, and I'm blessed by each of you. And thank you so much for the love offering you offered to the staff. And also, I just want to say this about our staff. And I'm taking myself out of this equation. I'm just telling you, you guys have an awesome staff. This group, I told them last week we had our Christmas party as a staff, and I told them I wouldn't trade them for anybody in the world. It's not just that they do a good job, but the thing is, there's not. You ever heard of like silo ministry? A silo ministry means if it's not in my silo, I don't do it. But we don't have that kind of staff. If something needs to be done and it's not in their an area, like when we decorating, everybody just shows up and starts pulling out boxes and doing things, breaking down chairs and whatever. If there's a few weeks ago, we had a water heater upstairs in the youth room that all of a sudden just busted and started leaking. And I'm not going to embarrass him, but I will anyway. Arliss was up here all night long working with a plumber to get that done. Arliss, you the man. I mean, you know, I told him, I said, you don't have to do that. Yeah, I know, but I don't have to do it. But he did it. And we just have, you guys have that kind of a staff, and I'm just so proud of them and proud to work with them. So, okay, enough of that. Now, one silly thing. I don't know if you heard me a while ago. One of the extra bookmark that our Threads of the Heart people get, it said, "The sheepeth know my voice." And that goes back to several weeks ago. I was preaching on Psalm 23. And we all memorized Psalm 23 from the King James Version. I said, we're not going to do it in the King James Version because I don't talketh like a thatteth. And so that's what that... I didn't have any idea our Threads of the Heart people had such a sense of humor. But I love it. I love it. All right, turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. Now, this passage that we're going to read today, we read some of it... The Bartletts read some of that in our Advent lighting, but this story is worth pondering on a little bit, I think, this morning as we enter into this third week in Advent. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. Even Herod referred to him as the Christ. And listen to this. This is quoting the chief priests and the teachers of the law, quoting Old Testament prophecy. In Bethlehem and Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. That's out of Micah 5:2. So even many of these chief priests and teachers of the law, they knew the prophecy. They knew that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, and yet many of them probably didn't recognize who he was. Verse 7, then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are indeed welcome here. We have invited you, and we know that you are with us. Now we need to hear from you, Holy Spirit. We ask you to speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to list to you, I ran across this, and it's so profound, and I wanted to list to you the eight property laws according to a toddler. Are you ready for this? The eight property laws according to a toddler. Number one, if I like it, it's mine. Number two, if it's in my hand, it's mine. Number three, if you have it and I can take it from you, it's mine. Number four, if I had it a little while ago, it's mine. Number five, if I'm creating something, all the pieces are mine. If I saw it first, if you are playing with it and you put it down, it becomes
mine.
Number eight, if it's broken, it's yours. The eight property laws according to a toddler. You know, we laugh at that, but you think that maybe also identifies us a little bit? Perhaps. Today, we'll continue the Advent sermon series, Overcomers. Overcomers. Today's message is overcoming self-centeredness. That's not your traditional holiday message, but I think the Lord would have us hear something about this. I think it's something that we, just like the toddler, we probably struggle with that a little bit, that it's mine. I said in my email this week that one of the first words that a young one will learn typically is the word mine. Selfishness, self-centeredness is easy for us to master because it comes very naturally to us. We don't have to try to be self-centered. It's just kind of part of us. It's in our DNA. John the Baptist was he's baptizing people, leading people to repentance, and they began to ask him, are you the one? Are you the Messiah? Are you the one we are to expect that's been prophesied? And first he said, no, it's not me. He pointed to Jesus, and this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And he said, he must become greater and I must become less. That's the heart of God for each of us, that Christ must become greater and we must become less. And unfortunately, self-centeredness can get in the way of that. Yes? Is this on? Yeah? Yeah. It's way up here today because I have a sweater on. I had to adjust my tapping. So, how do we overcome this natural condition, this natural inclination that each of us has for self-centeredness? To overcome self-centeredness, first we must understand, we must passionately pursue Jesus. I think we can learn so much from the story of the Magi. We're going to look at that. Passionately pursue Jesus. So, verse 1 and 2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." So, a few things, and this is not a slam on our children's Christmas programs. It's pretty much every movie we ever see with children or any children's Christmas program, we have the three, we even have it on our altar table. We three kings of, you know, that thing. First of all, Scripture doesn't say they were kings. Hello. Look it up. It doesn't say they were kings. And second of all, Scripture doesn't tell us there was three of them. The Magi from the east came to worship him. We possibly assume that there was three kings, well, or three Magi, because of the three gifts. They came with gold and frankincense and myrrh. Perhaps that's why. Somebody asked me that a few weeks ago. Why do we say there was three? And that's the best guess that I have, is possibly because Scripture lists three gifts. And they didn't, as every child's Christmas program will say, you know, the kings walk in bearing gifts to the baby Jesus at the manger. No. The kings, the Magi, see, I have trouble even getting off of the king thing. The Magi did not come to the manger. They came several months, perhaps even up to a couple of years old, was Jesus when they came. And we know that because when they met with Herod, they told them, it's interesting, these wise men, they were Gentiles. They came from the east, and they were pursuing the King of the Jews. They weren't Jews, but they knew, they had probably were well read, studied the Scriptures, and knew that this King was coming. They were from the east of Jerusalem. I did this last week. If you pull up a map of the Middle East, but in today's world, what's east of Jerusalem? Well, you got Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan. Those are countries that are east of Jerusalem. They probably came from one of those. They were Gentiles, but they were pursuing the King of the Jews. And as they came and they met with Herod, Herod says, "When did this star that you're following, when did that appear?" They told him, and when they left, Herod ordered all of the male children in Jerusalem, 2 years old and younger, to be slaughtered. Well, why did he pick 2 years old? Because he thought perhaps it could have been almost up to 2 years that they had been following this star, that they saw the star and they began this journey to see the King of the Jews. So he wanted to make sure that if there was a Messiah there, that he wiped him out. But it's interesting to me that these Magi, who were not Jews, first of all, knew that there was something special about this child, and they were pursuing him. They were probably men of standing in their culture, and they were pursuing this King of the Jews. How about us, church? I think if we want to overcome self-centeredness in our life, which maybe I'm the only one that struggles with that. Maybe I'm just preaching to myself this morning. If we want to overcome self-centeredness that may find its way into our life, it starts with a passionate pursuit of Jesus. Are we seeking Jesus? As I was thinking through this sermon, it also struck me that not only what's so awesome about God, not only are we called to passionately pursue Him, but even if we're not, He's already passionately pursuing us. Did you know that? We may not know Him, we may not acknowledge Him, we may not believe in Him, but He loves us and He is passionately pursuing us. He wants to have relationship with us. And how I'm just saying, if we passionately pursue Him, I promise you, you'll find Him. And that will help us to overcome our self-centeredness. Secondly, if we're passionately pursuing Him, then to overcome self-centeredness, when we find Him, we must joyfully bow down and worship Him. These magi, no telling how many months they had been traveling, perhaps thousands of miles. I don't know. They had been traveling for a while because the Christ child was somewhere under 2 years old. Could have been, a year, even a year and a half. But the magi had probably been seeking Him for months and months. And here's some things that they... When we saw the star, the magi says, we saw the star in the east and have come to worship Him. Non-Jews, Gentiles, they had come to worship this King of Jews. And they were probably men of high standing in their culture, and yet they recognized this was a king worth worshiping. And then it says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and what'd they do? They bowed down and worshiped Him. So church, to overcome self-centeredness in our lives, I believe it starts with a passionate pursuit of Jesus. And when we find Him, when we understand who He is, to worship Him, bow down, to be humbled before Him. Which takes me even to the resurrected Jesus. So the disciples, they saw Jesus nailed to a cross. They saw Him, His lifeless body taken down from the cross. They saw Him placed in a tomb, and 3 days later, they meet up with Him. And it says in Matthew 28, when the disciples saw the resurrected Jesus, what did they do? They worshiped Him. Who do you worship? God. They worshiped Him. I've said this, you know my story, most of you, but being raised in the church, I just got this idea that to be a Christian, you know, you're just supposed to be good. You do this and don't do that. But that's not it at all. It wasn't until I personally met my Savior and He conveyed to my heart, I'm a sinner, but He loves me. As John Newton said, he knew two things. I'm a great sinner and I have a great Savior. Until we come to that place where we have pursued Him and we found Him and we bow down and worship Him because He loves us, that somehow that can lead us out of our self-centeredness. It suddenly becomes about more than just me. There's something bigger. There's something eternal at stake here. And then finally, to overcome self-centeredness, once we pursue Him, once we find Him and worship Him, we're to follow God's example and sacrificially give. And this is not a sermon on tithing, because sacrificially give, yes, the magi opened their treasures and presented Him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. They physically gave some of their riches to Him because they bowed down and worshiped Him. They recognized who He was and they responded with gifts. But I'm talking about more than just money, even though you guys are so faithful financially. But I'm talking about just giving of ourselves, recognizing that it's not as the Purpose-Driven Life, first sentence in the Purpose-Driven Life book says, I love this opening line, it's not about you. Once we meet Jesus and we understand what He's done for us, suddenly we understand it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about this God who loves us so. And so we open our treasures, not just financially, but open who we are and the things that we can do for the kingdom, how we can love other people on behalf of Christ. I ran across a video where, it's hard to tell these days what's AI, what they've created online, but this one seemed legit because there was really no purpose of it except the story. But there was a parking lot scene outside of a grocery store, and there was an older man. He looked to be probably in his 90s, and was having trouble getting his groceries into the back of his car. And he dropped his phone, and he's struggling to hold on to his basket and get his phone, and he's just having trouble. And this man walks up to him and begins to talk to him, and he says, "Let me get that for you." And he bends down and he picks up his phone and he hands it to him. And he said, let me put these groceries in for you. And he just begins to help the man, and the man's very grateful. And he says to the man, how's life? And the man says, "Well, that's pretty rough right now." And he said, "What's going on?" And he's listening to this man. It's probably, who knows the last time anyone had listened to this man. And he says, how's it going? And he said, not that great. And he said, My wife fell and broke her hip, and she's in the rest home, and I'm trying to arrange it so we can get her home. She can walk on a walker now. We're trying to get her home, but we can't find care, and it's expensive and all this. And he said, "How long have you been married?" And he said, 70 years. 70 years. And he just begins the dialogue with this man, and first of all, just the conversation was probably healing for this man. And at the end, he said, I'm gonna help you. But he also put some information on the screen how others could help. If they knew caregivers that they could send that way, and he put what town this was in. It was in Pennsylvania. He said, if you can help, contact, you know, these people. To overcome self-centeredness, taking our eyes off of ourselves and seeing there's hurting people everywhere. I remember when we lost my brother, I remember just the grief that was had fallen on me and my family, and I just remember sharing that. It's like, Lord, I just hurt, and the Lord just conveyed to my heart the hurt you're feeling right now. There's people all over the world hurting. Maybe not exactly like this, but there's hurting people everywhere. To follow God's example, to overcome self-centeredness, is to follow God's example and sacrificially give of ourselves. It's not about me. It's not about you. I want to say this as this day that y'all have honored us, the staff, and that is so appreciated, as I said. But in all honesty, it's not about us. And our staff knows that, and I believe you know that. Only, I tell this to the staff all the time, only God can change a heart. Only God can heal a heart. We can serve, and we can give, we can do all sorts of things, but God is the true giver, for God so loved you and I that he gave Jesus, so that we have hope, so that we have eternal life. So how about it, church? Are we, do we open our treasures? And again, I'm not just talking about financial treasures, but do we open our treasures, which is us, who we are, what we have to offer? Self-centeredness is easy. For me, it's easy for all of us. But sacrificial love comes from the Lord. Listen to one of my favorite scriptures. I've preached on this scripture. I love this scripture, Philippians 2. But listen, here are these words, maybe even fresh for the first time. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Our attitude, church should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Made himself nothing. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And because of all that, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above all names. Say that name with me. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. As you're saying, I want you to say it one more time. As you say it this time, I want you to know Jesus loves you as you say his name. Say it with me. Jesus. He gave him the name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth. That means the enemy's knee has to hit the ground when we say Jesus, because there's power in the name of Jesus. And every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. To overcome our self-centeredness that we are naturally, it's naturally in us. We need to pursue Jesus, we need to worship him, and we need to open up our treasures to him when we find him, when he actually finds us. If you'll bow your heads with me. Jesus, you are so good to us. You are indeed the only changer of hearts. You're the only healer of hearts. We can never repay the debt that we owe you. You came to save us. You came to set us free. You are such a good God. And we bow down and worship you. We bow down and worship you. We open our treasures to you. And we love you. That's all we got. That's all we got. We just to respond, just to give back to you by loving you and loving others. Help us do it well, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you don't know that Jesus that loves you, if you don't know him personally, don't leave this place without visiting with me about that. The altar is always open. If you want someone to pray with you, we have a prayer team that will come and pray with you if you come to this side. If you want to come to this other side and have some time with the Lord just by yourself, please come to this side. Rise if you're able as we close. When the Magi saw the child, they bowed down and worshiped him. He is worthy of our worship. He loves you, and that's good news to share, church. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.